this morning as well. Last Sunday was Mother's Day, and I don't think one word was mentioned about mothers during our Sunday morning service. Now, us preachers don't generally like to preach Mother's Day messages, or Father's Day messages for that matter, and I don't plan to do that this morning, but at the same time, I would like to focus on a woman's contribution to the church. And that's the title of the message this morning. So it's not necessarily a Mother's Day message. However, a portion of the one point does touch on motherhood a little bit. So we live in a culture where women are taking active roles in church leadership. You just look out in various churches here, other churches in Tyrone or Altoona, this area. There are female preachers, deaconesses, rabbis, pastors, worship leaders, all sorts of church leadership, all positions of church leadership. We have women that are fulfilling those roles. Most churches today make no distinction between male and female when it comes to this role of leadership in the church. And as a Bible-believing church, a church that endeavors to follow the Bible in the choices we make, in the decisions, and how we do church, I guess you could say, we don't want to be swayed by the world or nominal Christianity in the choices that we make. And I'm thankful I don't feel that pressure, and that's not necessarily the reason for bringing the message this morning. I think a sermon on the women's role or the contribution in church isn't one that we hear too often. And I think for the most part, when it comes to, like I said, I don't feel like we are challenging this position. But I do want to look at what does the scripture say, maybe answer some questions, and at the same time, just encourage, and maybe I don't feel like I have anything new to say here this morning, but just simply a reminder and an encouragement to you as ladies, particularly in the responsibility, the contribution and that you have here in this congregation. So we want to look at just a few main points here. The first thing I want to think about is that a woman's influence in the home also influences the church. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also." And so it is said of Timothy that the godly character that was observed in his life, they recognize it came from his mother and his grandmother. And there was an influence there in his life because of his mother's and grandmother's faithfulness in his life. And that was carried down to his life. There was faithful teaching, faithful training as he was brought up. And as I thought about that, as I was studying for this message, I thought about that point and the influence that Timothy's mother had on his life. I thought about the influence that my mother had in my life. And I wondered how many faithful church leaders are out there today. And a good portion of that credit goes back to that person's mother and faithful upbringing and teaching. That doesn't mean that as fathers that we don't have any responsibility or any influence on our children. You understand what I'm saying. But I think, well, according to research, from birth up to age 5 is when a child is maybe the most influenced in life. And I think about those first 5 years of a child's life and how much I would say how much more influence a mother has in that child versus a father. And what does that do for that child later on in life? Often the faith and belief that a mother has is handed down to the next generation. And you can have a father that unfortunately sometimes is unfaithful, but it's that faithful mother that influences that child to make the right choices in life, regardless of the bad choices of his father. And so this morning, mothers, I want to bless you in that responsibility. You have a tremendous influence on the church. And this isn't just for church leaders. This doesn't go just for church leaders. There are different, men have different roles and responsibilities in church. And you as mothers have an influence on your children to help that child grow up and to contribute to church life. And so the Lord bless you in that. The second thing I want to look at is that the woman was created to be an helpmeet for the man. And we know the creation story. We're not going to turn to it, how there was an helpmeet was searched out for Adam, and none could be found. And so God created Eve. He took a rib from Adam's side and created an helpmeet for him. And this principle is true for Adam, that he needed a helpmeet. And it's a principle for the rest of society as well. Woman was created not to be a servant of the man, like in some cultures. And you go in other cultures and you see how women tend to be treated more as property rather than a helpmeet. And it's not our subject this morning, but that is not why woman was created. Not to be a property, but to be a helper, to fill in the many gaps that we as men have. Women have many gifts that we as men don't have. I think of the gift of benevolence, the desire to do good to others, goodwill, charitableness, helping others, having a heart of compassion for others. And doing good to others is not, you understand, is not just a rule of women. We as men have a responsibility. That is our Christian duty. But I think about the nature of man versus woman and how a woman can shine in this area. In the Bible, it was often women that ministered to Jesus' needs. Open your Bibles. I want to look at that. Matthew chapter 27. There's two passages I want to look at briefly that reveal this. Matthew chapter 27. I think we'll read verse 55. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joses the mother of Zebedee's children. So here we have this little picture here of these women that were following after. They were the women that followed after and ministered unto him. And I don't know what all these women did. It would be interesting to know how they ministered to Jesus. I'm not aware that the Bible tells us that. At least it doesn't here in this passage. But they ministered to him. They cared for him. Another one is in Luke chapter 8. Starting at verse 1, Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Again, what all they do. Did they prepare food for Jesus and the disciples? I don't know what all they did, but they ministered to him. They ministered to them. It was also, as you recall, after after Jesus was buried and he rose again, it was the women that were the first ones came early in the morning to the grave to seek after him. And to, again, they were going to anoint his body and to minister to his body, to anoint his body. And showing kindness and grace to those in need is a part of the Christian life for all of us. But I believe you as women have a special gift, a special heart in this area to minister. Not only to minister, but first of all, to notice and see those needs and then to minister to them. And it's a special gift to church life to have, and to congregational life, to have women that take care of those things. And it is, just for example, the other Saturday, which we canceled it then because of the rain, the weather, but my family was going to get together and do some yard work not at my parents' place, but where my Justin and Mary live. We were going to get together and do some yard work, and I was helping to organize that. And as the day got closer, I thought of it, like, well, I wonder, you know what? What about food? What about lunch? And I said something to my wife. It's already taken care of. It was all the details were all planned out. Women think about those things, and I know that's not particularly to congregational life, but it's those types of things that women tend to have an eye towards those things. Benevolence. Another one is encouragement, to inspire with courage, spirit, or confidence. It is the man that is called to lead out in the home and in the church. And might touch on that a little bit more later on. But I think whether you are a superintendent or a trustee or a deacon or a minister, different responsibilities, regardless of what responsibility you have, there are times that church life can get difficult. It gets hard. There's hard decisions to make. There's discouragement that we face. And a woman in our life can encourage and strengthen us behind the scenes. Not everyone is called to lead the church. There's lots of other work that we as men do. And regardless of what that is, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes encouragement that can happen. Another one is wisdom, knowledge of what is true and right. Again, it's the man that's called to lead and take leadership roles in the church, but how many times do we as men go to our wives and say, what would you do in this situation? What should I do? What decision should we make? And even with a small comment, a woman can help to keep us thinking right, giving us wisdom and direction. And there's many other areas that women can be a helpmeet for the man. And all of these areas, my point that I want us to think about is all these areas affect congregational life. They affect church life. So as a helpmeet for the man, the woman is a great contribution to congregational life or to church life. The third thing I want to look at is that a woman is not called to lead or pastor a church. Who did Jesus call as his disciples, as leaders of the church? Did he try to keep it equal? Did he make sure there was an equal between male and female and the different races? No, he called 12 men. And it's very clear in the Bible that women aren't called to hold positions of leadership in the church. Jesus called 12 men. And as you look at qualifications for a bishop, minister, deacon, it's clearly in the context of men that are called to lead. And the history of the church would support this teaching. As you look back through history, it was men that led. And from the research that I did, I think it was only in the late 19th century or early 20th century that women first started becoming pastors of churches. And this began to gradually change until today. It's readily accepted in a lot of churches. The headship order God has put in place supports our position of no female church leaders. Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. 1 Corinthians 11, we're not going to turn to that, but it talks about the headship order there. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read a few verses there in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And he goes on to, we could read the rest of that chapter. It talks about the relationship of Christ and the church and the authority structure between husband and wife, and how that fits together. But all throughout the Bible, it talks about the headship order and that how the husband is to be the head of the wife and man over the woman. Paul teaches that women are to keep silence in the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verses 34 and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. So what does it mean to keep silence in the church? I believe it's good to look at the context here. And the context is, if you read the verses before this, the context of these verses is in praying and prophesying and speaking in tongues. And I believe Paul was trying to tell us that women shouldn't be taking active leadership roles, teaching roles in the church. Turn now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So again, I believe this makes it clear, I touched on this before, how he talks about that the deacon should be the husband of one wife. And so this, Paul is teaching here, I think it's clear that church leadership should be a man and not a woman. The fourth thing I want to look at here is that a woman can be the servant of the church. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I'm just going to pick out the first two verses here. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a successor of many, and of myself also. So again, Paul doesn't specifically say what Phoebe did here, what responsibility she had, or what role she had. But it is clear that she wasn't a church leader, but rather a helper doing what she could. And we know that whatever she was doing, it was rather important. Paul commands them to assist her in whatever business she needed them. And Paul commended her to them. Commend has the idea of favorably introduce, exhibit, or to stand near. He was supporting her and saying, I commend her to you, and giving his blessing for what she was doing. There are other women listed in Romans chapter 16 that labored for the church. In verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila, he mentions my helper in Christ Jesus. They even laid down their own necks for Paul. They had exposed their lives to extreme danger for Paul's sake. And I don't have any examples of how you could do that today, but I believe the same spirit can be applied in helping, putting others first, ahead of their own wants, ahead of their own needs maybe, ahead of their own lives. Mary was recognized for her much labor among them. In verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. So again, he's pointing out these different women that labored in the church, and he points them out as a positive thing. There was something that stood out to Paul about Mary. Maybe it was her reputation. I don't know what it was. We don't know what she did, but again, Paul points out that she was a helper in the church, and it was worthwhile to him. And there are many ways that a woman can serve the church. We have things in place like fellowship meals and hostess schedules and teaching the children in Sunday school class, helping the needy and the sick. There's lots of different ways that women can be a helper in the church. I believe they can also be prayer warriors. Now, something that can be done regardless of what role we have, regardless of whether, okay, there's things like hostess and so forth that maybe you have a small baby, you can't do some of those things as well, but praying is something you can do while rocking a baby to sleep. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I just want to look at Anna here briefly. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So Anna was a servant of the church by prayer and fasting. And this is a tremendous way that women can contribute to church life, to congregational life. It's one of those things that when it comes to prayer, we don't always see immediate results. And we wonder how much does it actually do sometimes? And maybe it'd be good for us to study that and look at that again, just the power of prayer. But I believe prayer has a tremendous influence and it is a tremendous blessing to congregational life and to church life. Also in verse 38, Anna was faithful in telling everyone about Christ. It says, I like how it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So people would come in, they were looking for the Redeemer, looking for redemption, and she would speak to him, she would preach to him. And that is another way that you as ladies can be a blessing to the church, is to talk to others, witness. Having sisters that help wherever they can helps build a strong congregational life. So my question for you is, what kind of reputation do you have? These ladies that we looked at had a reputation of prayer and fasting, of helping and assisting and servanthood. Think about what kind of reputation you have. Are you one that is willing to serve and be a blessing to the church? There are many opportunities that women can be a servant to the church. The fifth thing I want to look at is women can be private teachers and encouragers. We turn to Acts chapter 18. We talked briefly about encouragement before. Acts chapter 18, Start reading at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So here you have a man that maybe in today's terms we would say he was on fire for the Lord, and he was an eloquent speaker, and he was doing what he thought was right, but he had one massive flaw. And that is, or flaw, I should say, one massive flaw. And that is that he was preaching the baptism of John and not of Jesus. And here we have this husband and wife that pull him aside and expound to him the scriptures and show him the way of Jesus and directed him. And that was a husband and wife team effort where they helped him and expounded. And I don't know how much the husband did the talking and how much the wife did the talking. I have a feeling it was probably some of both. And that is a blessing that is one way that you as women can be private teachers and encouragers. Maybe you can't stand up. You're not called to stand up and preach in the church, but anytime that any one of us preach something that's not truth, we want to hear from anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. We need to hear it. We need to hear correction where we need to be corrected. There's a few things as we think about what they did, what Aquila and Priscilla did here. First of all, they were learned themselves well enough to recognize this false doctrine. So they knew they had studied, and so they recognized it, and they learned. Another thing is that it seems like they did it privately. They didn't. They pulled him aside and talked to him about this. I believe they probably had an effort. They didn't want to belittle or embarrass him, but they pulled him aside and corrected him. They encouraged him, even though he was majorly lacking understanding. They recognized his heart and what he was doing as a good thing, but they just wanted to correct him, and they did it together. It wouldn't have been appropriate for Priscilla to privately teach him, I don't think. Together, they made a wonderful team and a great contribution to the church. And so there are many ways that women can be a teacher and encourager. We talked before about how women can encourage their husbands in church work. And I believe there is a place that women can give other men encouragement as well in the right way, as a husband and together, as a husband and wife. You can be an encouragement. Number six, women can be evangelists. Now, we often think of an evangelist as, in March we had Brian here as an evangelist, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you should go have revival somewhere. But evangelist is a preacher of the gospel. The responsibility of any Christian, including women, is to tell others about Christ. And we want to tell as many people about Jesus as we can. It's a responsibility that we have. The scriptural limitations on women as church leaders should never be thought of as barring women from any participation in the work of rescuing lost souls. That is a responsibility that we all have. And I believe there are actually times when women can reach the hearts of people better than us as men can. Women that have a deep love for God and a knowledge of the scripture are powerful tools in saving the lost. So women have an important role in church life and congregational life. And never should we minimize the importance of your work as sisters. We don't want to be influenced by the world and nominal churches today, but I was blessed as I studied to think about the role and the responsibilities that the sisters have in making congregational life a blessing in what you can do, both in how you influence your children, the future members, and those with responsibilities in the church, and how you can encourage or discourage church decisions and support today. So may God bless you as you faithfully fill your role in the church. Let's kneel for prayer.